have two council members joining us in one quick second. They're both grabbing a drink, but because we're a few minutes late, we want to go ahead and get started, and we want to be very respectful of your time. Welcome to the City Council meeting for the City of South Jordan. Today is Tuesday, February 18th, 2025. My name is Dawn Ramsey, and I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan, along with our outstanding City Council up here and our excellent staff, who we have seated around the room tonight, which is really kind of fun to have so many of you here. Thank you for being here. We are going to open this meeting tonight with an invocation by Councilmember Dawn Shelton.
Our Father in heaven, we come before thee this evening and we are filled with gratitude for the opportunity that we have to participate in our own government. We're thankful to live in this time and place where there are such freedoms and opportunities. We thank thee for the members of this council and their efforts to work together, and we're thankful for the professional staff who support us. We pray that thou will be with each of them as they fulfill their duties, that they'll be able to do so safely and without harm or injury or accident. Heavenly Father, we pray that thy spirit will be here with us and help us to be wise as we perform our duties this evening. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Shelton. All right, for the Pledge of Allegiance, we're going to turn to our Assistant City Manager, Mr. Jason Rasmussen, except I don't see him. There he is. Awesome. Mr. Rasmussen.
Will the audience please arise? Please repeat the pledge with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Audience may be seated.
Thank you, Mr. Rasmussen. Hey, I just wanted to point out that we proceeded with a quorum. The two council members who were grabbing a drink were both here, said go ahead and start, but we had a full quorum here. That's why we could start, because we just want to be very respectful of your time. We have a longer agenda tonight. We want to make sure that we get to the things that you're here for, the things that are the most important to you. All right, item D, we have the minutes that have been sent out in draft form from January 21st Council Study Meeting and City Council Meeting, the January 29th Council Budget Meeting, and the February 4th Council Study Meeting and City Council Meeting. It's been a lot of minutes, but we appreciate Mrs. Crookston and all of her work on them, and ask if there is a motion to approve those minutes or if anyone has any amendments to make, any changes.
Earlier, I sent an email to Anna asking her to amend the, which one was it now? The January 21st study session. Yes, just clarifying some remarks that I made.
Yes, I saw that. And you said that you were okay with that. So if no one has any concern with that amendment that Mr. McGuire emailed to all of us, then I'll ask
make a motion to approve the meeting minutes with that amendment.
Thank you. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve all the minutes with the one amendment that Mr. McGuire made. Any discussion to this? All right. Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Those minutes are approved as amended. Thank you. Okay. For the sake of time, because we have people here for important things, I'm going to ask if we can make a motion to move our mayor and council reports, item E, to right after H. So right before staff reports and calendaring items, to move it to E. E right before I. I know alphabetically that is out of order. If that gives you heartburn, let me know. Otherwise, I would ask for a motion to amend the agenda that way so we can move forward.
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we amend the agenda accordingly.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion to that? All right. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? I think so. All right. Thank you. Just so you know, that's the time when we like to report back and just share some of the things we've been working on for the last couple of weeks. But we'll look forward to doing that after some of these items, because we want to be mindful and stay on track with our time. The next item we have is our public comment period. This is our favorite part of the meeting because it's a chance we get to hear from you. We don't answer back and interact and solve all of the problems, but this is a chance for you to share anything you'd like with the council. Whether you love it, whether you hate it, we are here for it. So we ask everyone to please, when I open this up, come up one at a time, give us your name and address for the public record, and everyone gets 3 minutes to share something that you'd like to share with the city council. I'll turn to those here in person. Anyone who would like to speak, the time is now yours. I am not seeing anyone. No one's fighting to get to the front. Okay, we will close the public comment period and thank everyone for being here. And we want to get to the stuff that you're here for. So item G, we have a presentation and we're really excited about this. We have Dan Johnson here. He is the APWA Utah Chapter Board Chair. It's Don's role. Don, you're going to have to tell us what your title is. But we're going to invite you to come up, and you've got a presentation. And I'm just going to say this. Our first one is for Neil, the Water Whisperer Rasmussen. And I was told if I said anything extra about Cameron, he'd probably just be like, I'm out. So anyway, and Cameron Browning. So we'll turn it to you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. It's good to be here with you today. My name is Dan Johnson. I'm the West Valley City Public Works Director, but I'm also serving on the Utah chapter of the American Public Works Association Board of Directors. And I'm here to recognize a couple of your employees. But first, before I do that, I'd like to just give a compliment to your staff. You have some excellent employees, and we've worked with them. You have some great leaders in public works. And we worked closely with, actually, Shane Greenwood is on the board. He's our treasurer in the Utah chapter, and he does a great job to help us with our finances. And we work closely with Brad Clavineau and Ray Garrison, are grateful for their contribution locally to public works. Public works doesn't get a lot of attention unless things are going wrong, but we feel like it's important to take an opportunity to give recognize some great contributors to the profession. The American Public Works Association exists to really improve and promote public works, and you've got a room full of public works employees that have come to support two of your great employees. So I'm going to read a portion of the nomination information to recognize some of the good work that these two employees do for you. So first is Neil Rasmussen. He's been selected as the Utah chapter 2024 Outstanding Drinking Water System Professional. We take our drinking water systems for granted, and we would be lost without them. So with 20 years of dedicated service, Neil Rasmussen is a vital part of our team and a key resource for the community. Neil has achieved a lot during this time in the water division. He has significantly improved our water distribution system, saving the city money while keeping water loss below the national average. He is always ready to help, whether fixing a problem or planning for future needs. His insights are crucial in managing our water operations. His expertise has helped helped us not only meet today's needs, but also prepare for the future, as he played a key role in planning and installing 4 water tanks in South Jordan City and has provided valuable input for future developments. Neil's memory and attention to detail are impressive. He can recall everything from historical data to operational specifics, which helps our team make better decisions. Neil is not just a skilled professional, he is also a mentor and a leader. Many in public works look up to him, and his nickname, the Water Walker, reflects his expertise and friendly nature. He inspires those around him who strive for excellence in their roles. So that's Neil, and you can perhaps applaud now. Not that I'm in charge, but I'll just go ahead and read.
Well, I'm going to have you go ahead and do the next
I'll read Cameron's, and then.
Just so you know, I have your awards right here. So we will bring them down and make sure to hand them to you and invite all of you to be part of a picture, because I know you're dying to be part of a picture. So please.
Thank you, Mayor. And Cameron Browning. Cam has been selected to be the recipient of the 2024 Outstanding Storm Drain Maintenance Professional. Cam Browning has been with South Jordan City for 25 years. Camp started at South Jordan City in 1999 and has accrued a mountain of knowledge since that time. Cam shows up and is ready to get work done. Cam leads by example. He is always the first to put on waders or a harness to address any issue firsthand. If there is an issue or question about any area, he is the go-to. Cam is also a true team player, always ready to help wherever needed. He consistently offers his personnel and vehicles to fill any gaps to keep the city going. Cam's quarter century of service shows his dedication to his craft. He has so much more to offer than just his technical skill. He has been a mentor to so many of the employees that have come and gone over the years, and many are still here working side by side with him. Cam's excellence and dedicated service deserves to be recognized, as he is truly an outstanding storm drain professional. So thank you, Mayor.
So really quickly, I mentioned in our last meeting, and you folks weren't there, but I said, you know what, this work doesn't happen because people are looking for recognition. In fact, they never want recognition for it. They're here because they're good people, and they care about what they do. They care about their community, and they put their heart and soul into this work. They're proud of the work they do, and they always try to stay under the radar. That has been my experience while I've been here. Sometimes for us, it really is a privilege to get to recognize those that wish we wouldn't call out. They wish we wouldn't call them up for a picture and recognize them, but please know how much we appreciate what you do. We are grateful for how you represent South Jordan, how you interact with our public, the professionals that you are, the trainers that you are to everyone else, the mentors. We are proud to be part of your team and recognize you. Thank you for letting us recognize you. If you'd like to come up here, if you would be willing to please come up here, we would love to present these to you and take a picture with you. Thank you. Come down. Thank you. All right, we're going to pile in for a picture, okay? Because that's what we do. I need to take this off because really...
Okay, we got it. 1, 2, 3.
All right, now I'm going to invite your fan club to come up. All the fan club who are here, please come and join us. You guys can be part of this team photo. You guys are all a team. Does it make it any better if we have everybody else come up too? Better or worse?
Yeah, your family, get in there.
I'm going behind.
Well, we have to be able to see you.
It's okay, I can go behind.
No, we really do want to be able to see you. I feel like we should be having a barbecue right now. It's only time to see you.
Okay, right here. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, thank you. Team Public Works, thank you all.
I always wonder about
that.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's
what
I hear you. Thanks so much, man.
This needs to come with me. We are blessed with the best. I'll say it every meeting. I'll say it every day. Grateful for the team that we have here at South Jordan. All right. Oh, there she is. There's Laura. I was looking around. I'm like, I don't know if I see her. Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to be you, Jason. We are excited to have...
I turn it over to Janelle.
To have Laura Galliard, our Arts Council Chair, here for an annual update. We always look forward to an update from the Arts Council and appreciate the good partnership that we have and all of your work. So take it away.
Thank you so much. I am excited to be here mostly because I want to thank you guys as City Council for your ongoing support of the Art Council. It's appreciated. It reflects in what we're able to do as an Art Council and that we're able to put out for the City of South Jordan, which has been very well supported, which has been great. This is the right thing, right? And where am I pointing it?
Wherever.
To go to the next slide.
I think that... TV right there. Yeah.
Just to
just,
here?
Just forward. The TV
just
right
in general?
There.
I'm just going to...
Left and right. And
okay.
Should...
I didn't know if I needed to aim somewhere.
I don't know. That is above my pay grade. I do not know the answer to that. I think you just stand there.
Just start pointing it. Okay, so we're going to start with the Art Council 2024 year in review. And we're going to start with our 2024 theater productions. We had the summer production, which was Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which our wonderful mayor, Don Ramsey, was in. It was phenomenal.
It was so fun.
It was fun, and we have so much talent. Like, did you guys all see it? Mm-hmm. It was amazing, and I just have to say, Joseph is like my favorite production to see. I've seen it multiple times. I was absolutely blown away, like laughing, crying, everything. It was incredible. So thank you for being in that, and thank you for the support for that, because it was an incredible production. Our fall production, this time we did an October one, we did Blythe Spirit. And I don't know if you guys know, but we had two actors just kind of like join late in the game because two of the main characters had things happen. They joined late in the game and were able to pull it off. That type of memory is incredible. I do not have that. So kudos to them for that great show.
Laura, really quick, I think 10 sold out shows is our largest run we've had so far.
Yes, we had to add shows, didn't we? Yeah, we had to add shows, and they still kept selling out. It was mind-blowing, seriously. So, let's see. Next, we have our 2024 Arts Council Public Art Competition. So we had several competitions. We start off January with our Summerfest Commemorative Poster Contest. This has been started in the past few years. It's really fun to see what people come up with. And you'll notice on it, we have the Summerfest poster, and then we have art that we have had at Summerfest and other contests. So the one in the bottom left is one of the, that was a chalk art, right?
Yeah.
And
that
just,
chalk art.
And then a lot of times, and we'll show this later, that we take some of these and then we were able to use them in other areas. So we started off with that poster and then we went on to the art show, which we have from March to April, where you see the top middle one. And then our quilt show, again, all of these are just amazing to me that people have this talent. The quilt show we had in May, the chalk art contest we have as part of SOJA Summerfest, which is really fun to have. The plein air contest we had in September, and then the gingerbread house contest we had in November. And again, if anybody doesn't or hasn't had the chance to see any of these, the artistry and the skill and talent is outstanding. And what people can do with gingerbread is incredible. Next, we had our public art. We installed 5 murals at parks here in South Jordan. And then we had 7 panels done over at the Jordan River Trail, that under the overpass there. Our Town Center Drive crosswalk got updated. It's looking great. And then we had our pumpkin carver at the October Pumpkin Promenade, which is always so fun to see them work, and our ice carver at the December Light the Night. So fun to have those installations. We did 3 utility boxes this year, and we got the artwork from the 2024 art show. Again, when we went through as a council and were judging the art and everything, we're like, why don't we use these? Like, let everybody be able to see them. It's really fun to take it from there and to see it on a wrap. And it's fun for the artists as well to see their artwork out there for everybody. And you'll notice on there's the addresses there if you haven't had a chance to see them. So our 2024 art programs, we have our on display at City Hall and the Gale Museum. We have sock puppets year-round at the Gale Museum, and that is the first Friday of each month, if anyone wants to go and see that. We have year-round vintage dancing at the community center, which I am determined to get to sometime. I keep wanting to, and, right? Our youth art classes and summer camps, this was fun to do. So we have year-round classes at the community center and the Gale Museum, and that way people can come in and explore their skills and improve on them. And then the adult gingerbread class was at the Gale Museum, and I wanted to be in that, but it sold out too quick. So you gotta be really on the ball to get into that class. Next, we'll have new from 2024, things that we started this year. As an art council, I just wanna let you know that we, at our table, we try to just open up to everybody and say, what ideas do you have? What would be fun? Let's flesh them out and see what we can do. And so we're really a team there coming up with ideas that we can do. So this new one was the Art Swap Gala, and we had this at the Gale Museum, and everybody brought a piece of art and we swapped. We did it with numbers and everybody went and picked one and went home with a different piece of art than what they brought with them. It was a wonderful success, and we're looking forward to our next one, which will be this Saturday. So that will be a lot of fun. We're interested to see what we're gonna go home with. And then the Dowdle Van Wrap. Again, this was one that we had a member bring it to the table and said, hey, I have this idea. You guys might think I'm crazy. And it was, we had so much fun with it. So can I call her out?
Yeah, you can call
I'm
her
looking
out.
At her. So
you're say it. Janelle came with this fantastic idea and was like, you guys might think I'm crazy, but I have this idea. And it has been so much fun to have it be in the year that we have the Dowdle puzzle, to have that on the van, take it to events, have people color it. It's been just a wonderful success. So we're grateful to those who come to us with these crazy ideas that we are able to implement.
That's awesome.
Yep. We loved it. It was so fun. It has been and will be. So to go over our arts for the year, we have in January the Sojo Music Festival poster contest, February the Art Swap Gala, March the Sojo Art Show reception and kickoff, April the Sojo Art Show and the Dowdle Van Wrap, May Art on the Town and the Quilt Show, June the Chalk Art Festival Art Venture and the theater production, can't talk. July we have Art Venture, August Art Venture and Dueling Pianos. That's also a lot of fun. If you haven't come yet, you should really come to that. September, the plein air competition. October, we have our theater production, Storyteller and Pumpkin Carver at the Pumpkin Promenade. November, we had our gingerbread house class. And December, we had the gingerbread contest, art sculpture, community ornaments, candy windows. And then all year, we have our artists on display at City Hall and the Gale Museum, and where we have a new artist each month. We have our youth art classes and the sock puppets and vintage dance. So we have something going on all the time. Coming this year in 2025, we've had some fun ideas. So we have our online photo contest. We just got done judging that. And we'll have are they online? They are online. The photos are online, so we can see who the winners are. So that's fun to do. Again, see the talent in our city. Art in the Park, we had Art on the Town one day a month in May. That is being changed to Art in the Park. So the first four Saturdays of May, we will have this event at the Bingham Creek County Park over on 48th and 102nd. And we'll have a whole bunch of art vendors. We have a children's market, and then we have, we'll call it an adult market, every other week, along with other art being brought in. It's basically Art on the Town bigger. We're very excited for that. And then we'll have the South Jordan Track Station art, which we have a committee working on, and that is coming along wonderfully, and we're very excited for those wraps that will be going on at the track stop by the new, Bees Stadium.
And we don't have a date for when that unveiling is yet. Is that going to be decided next time?
His artworks do for our next meeting, but right. The install is all dependent on the weather.
Yeah,
it's weather. So we'll let you know when that will happen. We'll make it a thing. And it will be separate from the ballpark opening, the track station opening. We're going to have our own thing for this, right?
Yeah. If they can get the wrap on before the grand opening, then we can have it.
That's the goal.
Together, but if the weather's not
we had 70 a week and a half ago and then a blizzard on Thursday. So, you know, it's Utah. We got to see what weather is thrown at us. So that is our year in review and our upcoming 2025. And if you have questions, I'm happy to answer them, or I've got Tiffany right here behind me.
I'd just like to add something for this coming year. Our theater production, our musical, will be Annie.
Yep, we got that approved.
I think that's another 10. I mean, how many shows are being planned? Because I think Annie could pull off a 10-show run. Some shows I think can, some can't. And it also depends on the community, but 8 to 10, I bet Annie could pull out.
If you want to be Mrs. Hannigan, I bet we can pull off 10.
Don't tempt me, because I don't have time, but I would love to do that.
It'll be really fun. We have auditions coming up for that on March 5th. So if anyone or their kids, this is a really kid-friendly and heavy show, which is fun because some of them aren't always, and we have a lot of kids in the community who like to participate. So this is a great show for that.
Yeah. Good. Laura, thank you so much. And please... thank your entire team. Thank Tiffany. Thank everybody for us. Let them know how much we appreciate it. I can vouch for the track station art. They have gone through our full process, right? The entire team and the whole process for how to secure this art and how to choose it and whatever. And it's really cool. I'm very excited about what's been chosen. And I think it's going to be amazing as people step off the new track stop and welcome them to South Jordan. I think it'll be great.
Yeah, it's going to be a really... I want to say a really fun track stop, one that you're not just bored waiting at.
Yeah.
Really, it's going to be fun.
Some great artwork there.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Okay, really quick before we move on to our action items, I just want to say thank you. We have students here. We have members of the Youth Council here. We have planning commissioners here. We have members of the Senior Committee here. We have Arts Council members here. We have staff. We have lots of people here. And we have members of the public. And just thank you for being here. We had a lot of folks leave who we were here for certain other things, but like we've got a lot of different groups represented here tonight just in the audience that donate their time and really work hard on behalf of the city, and we appreciate you. Thanks for being here, all of you. All right, item H1, we have resolution R-2025-06, appointing Lori Harding to the South Jordan Planning Commission. We're gonna turn to our Director of Planning, Mr. Stephen Schaefermeyer. I do not see Lori here. Looks like she's not here, but we met with her and had a robust discussion. So go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, so this is a nomination from Councilmember Shelton to represent District 3 on the Planning Commission. As you know, the process is to have them come meet with you, and then if you are in favor of appointing that person, in this case, Lori Harding, then you vote by resolution to appoint them, and their term follows the council member's term, and that's all laid out in the resolution.
Anyone have any comments or anything, or can I get a motion on this?
She knows that we're about
she does.
Okay. Okay.
Well,
nothing like being voluntold, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not how we work, don't worry.
I'd like to move, Madam Mayor, that we approve resolution 2025-06, R-2025-06. Appointing Lori Harding to the South Jordan Planning Commission.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. Shelton. Is there a second?
I'll second. Go ahead.
Second by Mrs. Johnson. Thank you. Any discussion? Since we've discussed this at length and met with Ms. Harding, I will turn to Mrs. Crookston to lead us in a roll call vote.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
And Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Are you the one who contacts her to let her know that it's done? Will you please tell her we appreciate her willingness to serve? Yeah, thank you. Okay, item H2, we have resolution R-2025-07, approving the agreement for installation of sewer improvements along 1055 West with Jordan Basin Improvement District. We're going to turn to our city engineer, Brad Clavino, for this.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. I'm gonna plug this in so I can just give you a little history of what's actually going on and why we're doing this agreement. It worked earlier today.
Those gremlins.
Maybe, oh, no. brought that other device in case this doesn't work.
All right, well, they're fixing that. Thanks for being here, you guys. See ya.
It did really work earlier today. We came and tested it.
I think that might. We'll plug his in real
quick. Well, while he's trying to fix that, so what's that? Just trying to get our GIS layer up so I can see the road, but. The item before you is actually a resolution authorizing the mayor to sign this agreement with Jordan Basin Improvement District.
Sign language.
Mute his mic.
Look at that. Wow, that was interesting.
That's impressive.
My computer has never looked that cool. I've never seen it do that.
Let's try it again.
Are we all good with
this? I mean, how exciting can you make a sewer line? We're doing the best we can here, right?
A little comic relief as we needed it. Yeah, I think it looks good. Thank you. So, 1055 West, if you're all familiar, is the road down by the cemetery. So it's this road. We have a contract to replace the water line. Currently the water line is a 6-inch transite pipe, needs replaced. And just so you know, so we're not tearing up new roads, this area of King's Landing, when they did that project, we paid we had a reimbursement agreement, and they put the new line in that section. So we do think ahead once in a while. So anyhows, that's the project we have. The sewer district, at the same time King's Landing was being built, they had the contract or the developer run a sewer line over through there to serve their development, and they have always planned to run it farther up the road. And so we were working with them and said, hey, we're going to run the water line. Do you want to do the sewer line at the same time? Because we know how narrow that road is down there, and we have groundwater issues. So when they do the sewer, it's down 10 feet. It's going to basically close the road. Didn't want to close it for the water line, then close it for the sewer line. So the sewer district did a quick design. We got a price from our contractor, which is RDJ Construction, very good contractor. And sewer district has paid or agreed to pay that. We'll do a change order and then they'll pay us. And so the sewer district's gonna pay us a little over $340,000 for the sewer line and above $47,000 for some of the pavement restoration. So the agreement is so that they can pay us the money when we do the work. And why we're discussing it, we are trying to work with the property owners in this section. If we can acquire some right-of-way when we repave the road, we have in the contract to pave it to the 28 feet of asphalt, which is our residential street standard instead of the whatever it is down there and varies all over the place. As you recall, we had a resolution that was passed in the early 2000s, made that as a historical road. A couple years ago, we took that away and made it just a residential street. So our goal is to get the right-of-way, repave it to the 28 feet of asphalt. We'll worry about the curb gutter and sidewalk some other day, but that's our plan. We have been in contact with all the property owners. We hope that we can get that worked out. And then on top of it, just so you know, we have a open house on March 5th. We're sending notes to all the residents along there so they'll know about the construction project. The other thing, it's the residents live south of King's Landing. We may have to have them take another exit out for a short period of time. So we're going to meet with all them and tell them what's going on. But I just want to give you a little history of what's going on with the project and ask you to approve the mayor to sign this agreement. And I can answer any questions.
Anyone have any questions for Brad? I appreciate that this is being thought of during the same time as the water line, so it's not a double construction. Any insights?
Yeah, I mean, it's really important. It's really expensive anytime we're redoing roads and with water lines, sewer lines, and I can tell you the, you know, Jordan Basin appreciates when you know, the cities can work together to do these things all at the same time. So and vice versa, it's good for everyone.
And Matt Garn's been great to work with from sewer Jordan Basin Improvement District. Keep wanting to call it South Valley, so.
Yeah.
Well, and I think signing an agreement to accept payment is a good thing.
Yes.
We would like to get paid. So along those lines, is there a motion on resolution R2025-07?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve resolution R2025-07.
I'll second that.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any additional discussion to this? All right, Mrs. Crookston, would you please lead us in a roll call vote?
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Jumping the gun.
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes. Just trying to expedite the meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And Mr. Clavinell, thank you for that. Appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Item H3 is resolution R2025-08, amending the citywide policy 500-01 relating to public infrastructure districts. We are going to turn to our director of city commerce, Mr. Brian Priest, for this.
And if you thought sewer was exciting, wait till you get a load of this. So we're here. We discussed this, as you remember, last week quite thoroughly. But what we're trying to do is separate the paths for residential public infrastructure districts, which is a means by which a developer can finance a project. It does not count, you know, they can bond against it, whatnot, but it doesn't count against our bonding capacity. It doesn't, if they fail on the bonds, it doesn't hurt our credit. Anything, but they can use municipal credit rates. We wanted to separate these two processes so that residential will stay exactly the same as it was. Back up just a little bit. Either one of these is at your discretion. This does not give anybody any entitlement to do anything. They have to still, either way, they have to come in and show that they meet the criteria within the policy. For residential, it's still only for enhancements that would be above and beyond anything that's required by the city. So if they own a special park or something special that the residents could use, then it would be assessed and they would pay for that. The public infrastructure district for commercial would allow some other things. What we've done is mimicked the state law, so we made sure we're within the bounds of the state law. The things that they can do, water, sewer, parking, any inland port someday, if we ever want that, and other instructions. We've amended the process of how they do the commercial PID. They still have to come in, present that to the committee, who will make a recommendation to you once we feel like that they have the proper information, and we'll make a recommendation for or against, and then you will be the ultimate deciders as the city council. Then they'll go on, create the special district or the special, you know, public improvement district that will have taxing authority. There's limits in our ordinance as well as state law of how high they can be, can only be used for these improvements, can't be used for maintenance, those kinds of things. So if you have any questions.
Anyone have any questions for Mr. Clavinell? Go ahead.
So on a commercial application.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, your name is not Mr. Clavinell. I don't know why.
I felt.
Brad's like, no, I'm not answering you.
I still felt the love.
Sorry.
I've been there before.
I don't even know where that came from. I don't know. right at you. Mr. Priest, thanks. Sorry, go ahead, Mr. Shelton.
No worries. So on a commercial application, the where the developer is likely to be an owner, or maybe they would sell it to other commercial entities or whatever. The special improvement then, in fact, is just infrastructure. Is essentially is.
It can be, yeah, it's nothing, no vertical, no buildings, no, it's just for infrastructure, but it could be a parking structure, a parking lot. Doesn't have to be all owned by the public like the residential stuff does. It could be privately owned. It still has to be built to city standards and could be turned over.
The city could hold up, but.
Oh, yeah.
But they would still, well, how would they be taxed on it if the city?
Well, not taxed on the infrastructure. They would be taxed on the property that's developed.
Oh, I see. I gotcha.
Yeah, we're not going to tax the sewer line. We would tax the property that's served by the sewer line, so to speak.
Okay. All right. Good. That's great. That's all I have.
Okay. Anyone else? Go ahead.
Mine's just more of a comment, and that is, you know, I'm in favor for this, but I just think we just need to be really thoughtful whenever we use it. You know, I mean, there is a tax burden that gets, you know, shifted to the people who buy property. You know, here I understand it's commercial, so it's a little bit better than, you know, than residential. But for me, I look at it as like the reason why I'm in favor of the tool in the right circumstances is if it's something that we would not be able to have otherwise, except for this using this tool, it's the city's better off for it, you know. I want to have it available for those situations, but I think it can be misused. I want to just be careful that we use it in the right situation.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah,
it's and you say in a residential situation, it's not likely that people read everything in their mortgage when they're going through it.
Yeah,
a commercial lender would. You know, they put it in their pro forma. It would reflect in the sale price of the property. There, you know, it's a more sophisticated process, so it's different. You're right, and I'm not a huge favor of these for residential, but I think it's a good tool in the right circumstances for commercial. And we've been left with so few tools for retail type incentives and stuff that this is one that we can use. So.
Clarity, Mr. Priest. I know we've talked about this last council meeting, and now here we are again. Could you just explain to the public, currently in the city of South Jordan, do we have any PIDs in place?
We have no PIDs. We have an application for one. It is a commercial application. It's through the process of this application that we realized maybe we need to make some changes if this is really going to actually be a useful tool. But we don't have any residential or commercial at this time.
I just wanted that to be on the record. I've had people ask me, and I said, no, in the city of South Jordan, we currently don't have any PIDs.
We do not.
Okay, thank you.
That's right. And this, as written, should this pass, this resolution separates them, residential and commercial, and gives us more of the, this body has not been very favorable to residential use of this tool, but for commercial use of this tool, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and it separates the path. That it does not change anything that we've previously had for residential. It just puts it on a separate path, but the path is still the same.
Yeah. It exists, but this creates a separate path.
And now we've created a new path for the commercial.
Yeah, seems very responsible. Yeah. Thank you.
Anyone have anything else?
No. And it's similar to the special improvement district that we did, you know, that is how it would be handled.
Okay, thank you. All right, Mr. Priest, we appreciate that. I'm going to ask if there is a motion on resolution R2025-08, amending the citywide policy 500-01 relating to public infrastructure districts.
Madam Mayor, I'll move to approve resolution R2025-08, amending the citywide policy relating to public infrastructure districts.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mrs. Zander. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
A second by Mr. Shelton. Any additional discussion to this? Seeing none, would you please lead the council in a roll call vote?
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
And Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
That passes. Thank you. All right, item H4, we have resolution R2025-09, authorizing the mayor of the city of South Jordan to enter into a development agreement with Mulberry Cottage LLC and WHDTMR LLC pertaining to property located at 10537 South 3010 West and 10555 South 3010 West. We're going to turn to Mr. Schaefermeyer, our director of planning, for this.
Thank you, Mayor. Just to give a brief background, this is the third time this item has come before the council. It first came to the council in October of 2024. There were some questions that the council had for the applicant who wasn't here at the meeting. And so you tabled the decision on both the rezone and the development agreement until December. So to explain what the applicant is requesting, it's a two-lot flag lot subdivision. It's a rezone, so it requires both approval of a rezone, and the rezone requires a development agreement to truly become effective. You can have the rezone, but if you don't have the development agreement, it doesn't give you anything. So, and we can spend more time on, you've seen all of these slides before, but it gives you a context where 3010 West is, next to South Jordan Parkway, and the subdivision in which these flag lots were approved in terms of zoning on December 3rd. So at this December 3rd meeting, the city council approved the zone change for the flag lot overlay zone with a vote of 3 in favor and 2 against. After the rezone vote, the topic of the development agreement came up for a vote, and the vote was 3 against and 2 in favor. As a result, staff was directed to talk to the applicant about the development agreement and potentially return to you with either changes to the development agreement or a greater understanding of the council's perspective. In the meantime, staff encouraged the council to pass a pending ordinance, which the council passed, which puts new applicants for this rezone on notice that we are considering changes. The reason for that is in this discussion for this application and recognizing that there's other applications that we anticipated to come, that staff need a little more direction potentially to make changes to the zone to improve it. And we had that discussion with you during your work or your study meeting in January, on January 21st. Based on that discussion, we talked to the applicant and they came back to you at the February 4th study meeting. It was during those two discussions that we gained greater insight into some of the concerns about flag lots and some of the things that need to be addressed. Principally, and it affects this application, is understanding the council's position as a whole on the prohibition of guest houses or detached ADUs. So after that discussion with the council, both in the January study meeting and the February study meeting, the applicant has chosen to come back to present again their development agreement. The development agreement is the same one that was presented to you in December. It restricts these two lots, well, all the lots, from having guest houses or detached ADUs. And this is also a provision that we're working to implement in the code as a whole, and that will be presented to you once we go through that text amendment process. So that development agreement has not changed from what was presented to you in December, unless you have other items that you want addressed in that development agreement. The applicant is requesting that you approve it, and staff is recommending that you do. The applicant is here if you have further questions for the applicant or for staff.
Thank you. To note that there's already been a public hearing on this.
Thank you, Mayor.
This is not a public hearing. that's already been held in a January meeting.
In fact, we had two public hearings, one in October and one in December.
Right.
Yep.
But we do have the applicant here, if there's anybody who would like to ask any questions of the applicant or of Mr. Schaefermeyer. So, anybody have any questions? Anything you want to ask?
I just have a statement. Whenever you're ready to make a statement. So, thank you for taking the time to research, you know, flag lots and more in depth. I mean, that was important to me. I didn't feel like I had when we met before. Flag lots it's a big deal. It's actually very emotional for a lot of the people who've lived in these areas. And I wanted to make sure that we got it right. And your team did an excellent job in researching what, you know, neighboring cities did and what are the various options. We're able to sit down, you know, as a council and evaluate those things. Because that's important to me. I didn't want to do anything. It's like, okay, well, we'll do this for one person, but not for the other. That we actually had some guidelines that we were thinking. And what we're talking about today falls within the guidelines that we've discussed as a council. So I feel a lot better about where the place we're at today.
Thank you.
Anyone have anything else? Do you want to say anything? No? Okay. All right. Thank you. I will ask if there is a motion on resolution R2025-09 authorizing the mayor of the city of South Jordan to enter into development agreement with Mulberry Cottages, LLC, and WHDTMR LLC pertaining to property located at 10537 South 3010 West and 10555 South 3010 West.
Mayor, I'll move to approve resolution R2025-09 as stated.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mrs. Zander. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion, Mayor.
A second by Mr. Shelton. Any discussion or anything anybody wants to say? All right, Mrs. Crookston, would you please lead this council on a roll call vote?
Councilmember Zander.
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton.
Yes.
Councilmember Harris.
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson.
No.
And Councilmember McGuire.
No.
Okay, that passes with a vote of 3-2. And that passes. Okay, thank you. Okay. All right, we are going to item E with our amended agenda, mayor and council reports. This is when we just take a quick minute to be accountable and really be transparent about some of the things that we're working on and hold ourselves accountable to our public and those who we are striving so hard to represent. Just want to share just a few highlights of some of the things that we've been working on over the last couple of weeks. And I'm wondering if there's anyone that would like to go first. Mr. Shelton, would you be willing to go first?
Yeah, I'm fine to do that.
Thank you.
Mayor. So since our last city council meeting, I've been quite busy with the Jordan River Commission board. The governing board met, and I was in fact elected chair. There was no dark horse candidate.
Awesome. Thank you for your willingness to do that.
I was kind of hoping for a dark horse
candidate. Yeah, that's one more time for you.
But I was elected chair, and there was a Jordan River Commission also had a celebration for their volunteers to come out and pull weeds and clean up and that sort of thing. I attended that and met with the executive director and went over, you know, all the stuff I'm going to have to do. I don't feel like I got full and fair disclosure before I agreed to run for chair. So anyway, also there were two legislative policy committee meetings from the Utah League of Cities and Towns that I attended one in person, one virtually. I'll disclose, I was in the parking lot at Solitude Ski Resort for that meeting.
Oh, that is a sacrifice. That's nice of you.
Anyway, I got in a few runs
that
before the meeting.
That was probably easier to battle than the parking lot at the Capitol.
Well, I'm sure. I'm confident of that. Yeah. And then had occasion to meet with staff and a member of the council and a developer to review a project that's been worked on quite a bit, and felt good about the staff's efforts and the developers' efforts and the project. I think looks like it'll be an interesting project to me. So anyway, that is my report.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Thanks. Mrs. Sander?
I had a couple of pictures I wanted to show. Could you pull those up? Is there anybody in the room that was working here in the city of South Jordan in 2002? Jason? Okay, Sunil, do you recognize that man in the middle?
Recognize him, I don't remember his name.
Okay, so.
Ray was here too,
right? So the gentleman in the middle, his name is Peter McMahon. Does everybody remember that name? Yeah. So Peter McMahon was the president of Kennecott Land, and he put together a team of individuals that started the entire process with the vision, the consultants that built Daybreak. And he was from Australia. Kennecott Rio Tinto brought him into Utah, and he was the first president of Kennecott Land. My husband Corey was hired by that team, and they started the development of Kennecott Land's master plan community, which we all know and love as Daybreak. Peter contacted me about a month ago and said, Tamara, I'm coming to Utah. Can I go to lunch with you and Corey? So I wanted to share that picture with all of you. We got to take Peter on a tour of Daybreak, Utah, and it was delightful.
Wait. I really, really take issue with the name Daybreak, Utah. Daybreak in South Jordan, Utah.
Take
Daybreak
issue.
Is not a
town. We took him on
a
tour
to
Daybreak in South Jordan, Utah, whatever.
Yeah.
But Peter and his wife had such a delightful time seeing the growth of Daybreak, and his vision was to have all these views of the mountains. And we stood right here at the cove in Daybreak, which is their amenity by that water course. Anyway, if you'll flip to the second one, we went inside the cove, which has, oh, not that one, the other one. Back. There was four people in the picture. Hello. Can you flip to the other picture? Oh, okay, well, there was another picture that showed him. Anyway, it was delightful to take Peter through Daybreak, and he said, well, show me East Lake, and show me Founders Park, and show me west of Mountain View, and it was so much fun to watch him talk and discuss some of the things that happened. He told us the story of how the temple was located in Daybreak, and the meetings he had with authorities and leaders and how that came to fruition. I said, can I get you on video? He said, no, this is confidential, Tamara. But it was fantastic to know all the maneuverings of getting things like the temple and the lake approved, and the city planner, not planner, the city manager at the time was Ricky Horst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Mayor Money, great visionaries. And so what we're doing today in the city of South Jordan matters, because in 15, 20 years, there'll be people that come and see what we're doing. And I just wanted to share that all with you. I had such a time with Peter McMahon.
Perfect.
He's a really, really good man. This is just a funny picture. See this cute gal? Her name's Camille. She goes to the Sojo races every month. And at the date dash on Saturday, that Janelle's team, Matt at the helm, runs so well, Camille pulled out her book. That book in her hand is pictures of every 5K race last year in the city of South Jordan. She attended all of them, and she created a little book with pictures from all the different trails. So kudos to Janelle, the Rex team, those who do the Sojo races. They take us in different trails throughout the city, and I, for one, love that. We actually went down Cemetery Road this last Saturday, the trail took us down Cemetery Road. Anyway, if you look close, that's a picture of me and Camille at the turkey race in November. She's like, Tamara, you're in my book. Anyway, she's darling. And these are the people that get served at the Sojo races. Some are big time runners. Some are walkers like me. Some are like Patrick with his dog. It's just fun to see the variety of people that show up. And whether you're like great athlete running or somebody like me that's the queen of walking, there's a place for everybody. Or the ruckers, right? Matt shows up with his rucking pack. So anyway, just shout out to the Sojo races that are such a great unifier in our city. That's it.
Awesome. That's awesome. Thank you. I love that when you said Peter McMahon, I thought, why do I know that name? Because it was before my time.
Oh, yeah.
However, I know that name. That's cool. I'm glad you got to do that. Mr. Harris, would you like to go next?
Yep. I also attended the 5K race series. I love those race series that are on Saturday mornings because when it's really cold and sometimes even slightly rainy outside, because I'm signed up for it, we get up and go, and our family gets the exercise, and so it's I really enjoy those. They're so well attended. They're so well attended. You know, it's there's a lot of excitement. Staff does a great job in arranging for it, and just making it. Yeah, I mean running's running, but the event, they make the event fun. So which is really good. So thankful for that. I think since last time we had a meeting. Since last time we met, but had a meeting with Jordan Basin, everything's going well there. I mean, just like everyone else, Jordan Basin's also paying attention to various legislation. It's busy time at the Hill right now, so thank you for everyone that's up there. I know a lot of the staff and Ryan, and thanks for all that you guys are doing. Mayor, I know you're heavily involved in all that as well. Met with another developer just to kind of along with staff, just to kind of go over some, a potential development that's going to be in our city, and staff's been wonderful to work with on that. And also met with Dustin. I enjoy those, monthly visits with you, Dustin. It's good for us to be able to sit down and talk about the various things in the city, and that one-on-one time is very valuable. So I appreciate it. So and that's my report. Great.
Thank you, Mrs. Johnson.
I've met with the mosquito abatement. They're pondering doing a rate increase. They haven't had one in, 15, 20 years. So I think they're due.
Okay. I've been attending a lot of the legislative policy committees, but I don't get the privilege of attending from the ski resort. If I'm not there, not at the Hill, I'm in my office at work joining remotely. A lot of critical bills going on for us to pay attention to, and I believe we'll be recapping some of those a little bit later tonight. Have had various art council meetings, met with the artists for the track stop at the Urban Center, that new stop that will be going in by the Beast Stadium that was mentioned in presentation earlier. Went and stopped by on my own at Aunt Mames. We had that discussion about what to do with it, and so I kind of went and did my own little reconnaissance just to, even though I'd been there before, looked in the windows, I just thought, since we're bringing it up, go refresh myself with the site. And that was, good just to get reacquainted and kind of picture different things that we might be able to use that site for. And that was the majority of my activities.
Thank you. Okay, several LPC meetings, as has been noted, and just appreciate all the input. We have so much good representation from South Jordan weighing in on these things and staying on top of things, and appreciate City Attorney Lewis and how much time he spends on our behalf. I spoke to a very packed room of the Salt Lake Board of Realtors. They had a huge audience, and they did a mayor's panel, and there were six of us mayors, five city mayors and Mayor Wilson of Salt Lake County. And it was moderated by Mayor Shepherd of Clearfield, who serves both on the LPC committee and on the board of the League of Cities and Towns and on the policy committee for the Board of Realtors. And so he was the moderator. He came down and did it, and it was just a really good discussion. It was really good. So appreciated that opportunity to talk about some of what we're doing here in the city. Did a mayor's panel also for the South Valley Chamber. They have this leadership group that meets every month, and they spend a full day every month going through a lot of intensive leadership training. And it was also a full room. That was up at the state capitol, and it was the seven mayors that are part of the South Valley Chamber. Jay Francis is probably the only one right now who, during the session, could get all seven mayors together at the same time at the capitol to do a panel like that. But he did, and it was a great opportunity. So those were both the same week. Interesting. Also had the chance to come. I was late because I was coming from the Capitol. It had just ended, but they took a few extra minutes, and appreciate them taking a few minutes and the artists with me to go over some of the artist concepts. And I really like what we've zeroed in on, and we all liked the same thing. And what I liked, they hadn't told me how they felt about anything, and I loved it, and everybody had felt that way. So I think we're in unanimous agreement about the art that's going to go in at the new track stop. Excited about that. Had the chance to visit with some friends from Rio Tinto. We had Alan Matheson come in and meet with Dustin and I, and we had a really good visit about what's going on with Rio Tinto, what their plans are, what their team looks like. And you may or may not be aware, Alan's only been with Rio for about 6 months or so. He was the director of the Point of the Mountain, and he was recruited by Rio Tinto and went over there, and he has been called as a mission president and is going to be leaving for Canada soon. So it was a good opportunity to visit with him and talk about, okay, what do we do going forward, and who are we working with, and how's that going? So things are good. Good relationship with Rio and moving forward with that. Also met, I think the same day, we had the folks from UTA come, and Chairman Christensen from the Board of Trustees for UTA came down, and their communications director and their government policy advisor came and met, and Dustin and I had the chance to meet, and we had Rachel there, and I can't remember, was Melinda there? I can't even remember. I'm losing track. I think Melinda was there too. And we sat down and visited about, yeah, there she is. I'm like, I can't even see her, but I know she's there, and you were there, yes. anyway, we got to schedule, which you will now see on your calendars, the track stop opening for our new track stop. It's on your calendar. It will be during the day. I think it's the 26th. Is that what we decided? Wednesday, the 26th of March. I think it's a Wednesday. Anyway, you're going to see a calendar block for that afternoon for a few hours, because in addition to the track stop opening, there will be some other events that take place at the stadium that the Bees would like to piggyback on that track stop opening with some tours and some media events and stuff like that. And so anyway, there's a large block on your calendar for that afternoon, and they're going to try to fit a whole bunch of stuff in right there. Anyway, got to talk about that and kind of figure that out. So it's a UTA event, and very much appreciate their partnership with us and having South Jordan be able to give a great deal of input about maybe how that will go down. Every Thursday morning, you will find me at the Capitol very early, because the Wasatch Front Regional Council has our weekly policy update meeting. It's in the Senate building. We have a lot of folks come. We always have some legislators come and present. We always have a lot of policy and transportation and transit and public policy folks and league representation, just a lot of interested parties that are part of this with transportation and transit and planning there. So if you're ever interested, we have a link online, or you can join me at the Capitol very early on a Thursday morning, because we only have a couple of them left. You might not want to miss that, but yeah. So we have a lot of that. I attended the National Association of Regional Councils annual conference in Washington, D.C. for a couple of days, wearing my hat as chair of Wasatch Front Regional Council and representing South Jordan and what we're doing there. And we had 2 days of a conference, and I didn't even see daylight at all, not zero. We were in this hotel conference center and just downstairs in the basement all the whole 2 days. It sounds like it's exciting to go back there. It's not exciting. It's like I didn't see anything. I didn't do anything. I just went to all these meetings all day. It was really good. And then the last day, so that was for 2 days. And then the third day is the day that we came back. But before we flew home, we had meetings on the Hill all day with Utah's congressional delegation, the six from Utah, the delegation, and a really good opportunity to talk about what's happening in Washington right now, what's really happening in Washington right now, what that looks like. And also, as they are looking for efficiencies and things that are going down right now, to advocate for key functions of government, and that transportation planning and funding is one of those, yeah. and why that matters to our area, and our delegation gets that, mm-hmm. and they agree with it, and that's a good thing. We're grateful for that. So those meetings went well, and that is my report. Mm-hmm. That's my report. So I'm going to turn now to our city manager, Mr. Dustin Lewis, for staff reports and calendaring items.
I wanted to let city engineer Brad Clavano report on the 98th and Bangor that we brought up at the last city council meeting, and kind of where that's at and what the plan is going forward.
Yeah, Mayor, members of the council, last 2 weeks ago we talked about taking the right turns away onto Bangor, and so they could pull the signal. I talked to Marwan with UDOT the next day. He ran it by their staff. They went and met with the school district towards the middle of last week, I think. School district was on board with that. They were going to meet with the business on the other side. And so they've come to the conclusion this weekend they will stop the right turn movements and pull the signal. So I just want to give you a heads up. That's happening this weekend. So. 98. The other day, it was interesting. I went by there, and people weren't stopping at the stop bar, and they were making the right turn on red, which they were not supposed to do, which is another very dangerous situation. So.
Thank you.
Those are all the items that I had. I don't know if City Attorney Luce wanted to provide any legislative updates. I know most of you are in LPC this morning.
They're still up there passing laws. Any questions? No, I was late to work session because I was testifying to 502, in which there's an appropriation. And thank you to Mr. Clavano, and actually more importantly to Jeremy, who did the exhibit and stuff, for assistance with Prosperity. And so other than that, there's just things going through. I'm going to send you a text regarding the grandma bill. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page as far as that bill. It passed out of committee. The league's supporting it, but it was kind of back and forth today at LPC. It wasn't unanimous. There's some people that are concerned about provisions. That's the one that removes the state records committee, replaces it with an ALJ, a law-trained person that would just enforce law and removes the balancing test, which from an ALJ perspective makes it a lot easier because then there's no, well, even though this is private or protected, there's a balancing to do. It removes that, and so it'd be very strict. In a lot of ways, that would make life a lot easier for anybody that has to comply with grandma. But if you have concerns, let me know.
I wanted to weigh on something that the county just did today. I got word while we were here in this meeting that the Salt Lake County Council passed a resolution. It's the second week in a row that they voted on it. It's a two-week process for them, and they voted to approve it's referred to as the fifth, but it's the local option sales tax that is available to counties of the first and second class and to pass, and Salt Lake County had not. So just a little information, what does that mean? In 2018, the state legislature approved a local option sales tax, and for every $5 in purchases, consumers would pay one penny in sales tax to go toward transportation projects. In 2024, last year, the state legislature gave Salt Lake County the ability to amend their uses of their portion of the tax for transportation or public safety. It was always intended for transportation, but Salt Lake County said we need funding for public safety and we have nowhere else to draw from. But they still hadn't implemented that. That wasn't something they had done, and our colleagues in other counties have. Because they voted to approve that tonight, as of July 1st, that's when it will go into effect. Roughly $76 million will be generated annually. The state legislation requires that half of that, or $38 million in funds, go to needed transportation-related projects within Salt Lake County. But per last year's legislation, the state will choose those $38 million worth of needed transportation-related projects within Salt Lake County. And then a quarter of it, which is 19-ish million, would go to cities in Salt Lake County to be divided up and used for transportation needs. And one quarter of the other quarter, the other 19 million, would go to Salt Lake County and they could use it for public safety. So they did pass that tonight, and as of July 1st, that will be implemented. Utah County and Summit County have both already implemented it. And I really thought Davis County had too. Is that not right? Has Davis County implemented fifth? Maybe they haven't. Utah County and Summit County have.
I think Davis County was holding. I thought only Utah County
Utah
had.
And Summit have.
Well, yeah, Summit did a long time ago, and then Utah did more recently.
Maybe Davis County has.
I know they were talking about it.
They have been talking about it.
Because Commissioner Kamalu brought it up at WFRC, didn't they?
Yeah,
they did that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so how that works out is that the county plans to use $6.4 million for operations of the additional 184 beds at the Oxbow Jail. And the remaining funds will be allocated to future modifications of the Metro Jail because the bond did not pass this year. And so they are looking for funding sources to supplement and to increase their ability to do public safety. So that's what they plan to use that for. What does it mean to us? It means for us, I think it works out to be roughly $1.2-ish million that would come to South Jordan annually for transportation funding, transportation projects in our city.
That's my memory, just
I'm
over
pretty
a
sure
million.
That's what it is, just over $1 million. Yeah, so that's a tool that's been in their toolbox for a few years that they just decided to implement.
Do they allocate that money according to population? So
it's, larger I think
cities?
It's, I think that's what it
there's
is.
A
it's
formula.
Not a set amount, there's a formula. So
okay. I don't know if it's solely population, but it's population based, and then I think there's there might be lane miles or some other things calculated in there, I'm not sure.
And that money, like I said, Salt Lake County can now, this legislature has given them authorization to use for public safety as well, and then the rest of us will use it for transportation projects the way it was intended, which is great, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. is what we need it for. So anyway, that happened tonight. Also today, there was a lot of conversation just about, there's a bill, HB 465, Law Enforcement Agency Amendments. It is specifically intended to have an impact on Salt Lake City. I mean, it is. You can say cities of the first class in counties of the first class, but that it's specifically intended to have an impact on Salt Lake City to give the state a little bit more authority to make decisions about how public safety, crime, homelessness is being addressed, right?
It was so specific that the first draft said cities first class that received mitigation funds, which scooped up St. George.
Yeah.
St. George said, wait. And they said, oh, no, we can fix this. We don't.
Oh, and Ogden.
This isn't about you.
Yeah.
They're like, this isn't about you. And so then they flipped it.
It pretty much says that start with Salt and end with Lake. I mean, it's almost that, it's almost that specific. But it compels cities of the first class, which we are not yet, but will be within a very short period of time. It compels those cities who receive homeless mitigation dollars, which we currently do not receive homeless mitigation dollars, but it doesn't mean that we never will. And we're not the only city in that boat. And as Attorney Lewis said, there are other cities that fall into that bucket right now. It forces them into an agreement with the Department of Public Safety and really gives the Department of Public Safety a lot of broad authority over certain things in a municipality without having to maybe coordinate fully with the municipality. And so anyway, there's a lot to it, and there's a lot being worked on, but as you can imagine, there's a lot of concern over that. So just stand by. There's right now the league opposes it as drafted, and we'll wait and see what happens. But to think that this might only allow the state to kind of take a bit of control over, a lot of control over Salt Lake City's police department, that it's concerning on a lot of levels, I think, to municipalities.
The other part of it that could be complicated is, so they take the money if you didn't sign the agreement with them if you're receiving mitigation funds. But if you're not, in the separate section, it says once you're city of first class, there's a rapid response team by the UHP that anytime they deem that our police aren't fast enough in responding to an incident, they can just walk in, which there's a lot of coordination that goes into these specialized teams. They train together. Chief can tell you a lot more than I can, but they don't just walk into each other's area without good coordination because we don't want problems to happen. And so that in and of itself has caused a lot of concerns. Further, if they write tickets and stuff, are they working with the different DA's offices, or if they're breaking up an encampment and they're writing misdemeanor tickets, are they working with the local offices for the city attorneys to even prosecute those? Because many of those may be dismissed. And so there's lots of concerns with what they would be and how they would do it and how it would work.
And another concern is that there's a stick attached to this because HB 465 would withhold gas tax and homeless mitigation funds if a city of the first class does not contract with DPS. They don't get their transportation or their homeless mitigation money. And
that's, they had to get to a neutral fiscal note. Yeah. So that's why it's neutral. That money is moved to the UA or the Highway Patrol to pay for these services.
So it's the main concern, even though we're not a city of first class right now, if something like this goes through, when we hit a certain population level, that this is going to flow into us. I mean, that's why we're...
The potential for it is real.
Yeah.
And or it could be going so well in the state's view that they could expand it and say all cities in a county of the first class or second class.
What if they have an incident in the city of the second class that they wanted Highway Patrol to respond and they didn't because they couldn't, and so next year they just change it? That it's a very slippery slope, and I mean the law enforcement world knows how to work together to handle these things. It's interesting that they just have a full takeover by the Highway Patrol.
And so the chiefs of police are also opposed to this bill.
Can I ask, what was the impetus for this? Did they feel like something was handled poorly? I mean, they obviously had something that triggered this.
It's the downtown situation in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
With the encampments and
not
just everything.
Not being handled to their liking.
Yeah. So just know we're watching that and working closely on it and weighing in. And plus tons of other things that we don't have time to go over all of them tonight, but a lot of things. So, yeah.
Madam Mayor, do each of you receive the daily update from the Utah League of Cities and Towns? Do you get that nightly, daily one? Okay, I'll forward it out.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes.
I'd just like to just bring to the council's attention SB 262, Housing Affordability, and HB 355, which really is geared towards gravel pits, but both of those bills have the potential to really preempt local authority and our zoning abilities.
And one of them you spoke, the gravel bill, you spoke in committee about.
Yes,
right?
I did speak in committee on the gravel one, but yeah, just everyone be aware of those ones. Those could potentially be action alert items from the league just because of how they directly preempt cities.
Yeah, thank you. There are still several significant bills that haven't dropped yet that will still be coming out. So
we have 2 more weeks of the legislature.
Yeah. Okay, anything else for us? Okay, thank you. All right, unless there's anything else, I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.